Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "We came out from Horeb and went through all the great and terrifying wilderness that you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea." What we see here is that for 40 years, the Israelites have had an opportunity to remember their mistake of not trusting God when they believed the 10 spies instead of Joshua and Caleb, and they rebelled against God. But now, finally, the time has come for them to enter into the promised land. And we've been studying through the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Joshua in our kids' class for the past few weeks. And we have talked about some of these things. This is a new generation that was about to cross the Jordan River. And they were encouraged by God to be bold and courageous. And we sing a song about that, being bold and courageous. And it would be that God would lead them, and they just needed to have their trust in God. In Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Joshua commanded the people, 'As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you will set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way to go, for you have not passed this way before.'" Now this is an interesting passage, that they were to stay behind the Ark of the Covenant, and they were to go in the way that the Lord would lead them. The Lord is going to lead them. The Lord had been leading them, and they needed to realize that. And that is one of the interesting things that I was telling the class this morning. We see so many things as the people are going into the land, and they are starting to defeat some of the enemies that are around about them, that it's so evident that God is with them. But it's not, that feeling is not going to last, because they don't always remember those things. But at this point, they certainly need to remember what God has done for them. And that is going to be true after they pass the Jordan River. This is a great and significant time in their lives. And God wants them to remember in future days what it is that happened. And we want to talk about this morning. They were to build a memorial. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, it says, "When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel.'" And so, what is it that Israel needs to remember? Well, God had led them across the Jordan. They're about to take the promised land. God has set up a memorial for them. These stones are going to mean something. And their children are going to ask later, "What do these stones mean?" They are things that we remember or want to remember. Just this morning we partook of the Lord's Supper. And we did that in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. We place a special emphasis on certain days. Now, this past week it was Jarrell's birthday. It was also Jacob's birthday. And we remember that, and sometimes we don't want to remember as we get older, but it comes along just the same. Jarrell wrote something on her hand the other day to remember. And now she doesn't remember what it was that she wrote, but I guess it worked, whatever it was. She remembered what it was that she wrote on her hand, and whenever she got to where she was going, it was there and she could read it. We place a special emphasis on remembering things, or should. And we don't want to forget something that is important. In fact, those of us that have calendar appointments at our jobs, you know, our phones pop up and tell us, you know, here's something that you put in there a couple of weeks ago, it's coming now. And so if I didn't have that, chances are I wouldn't remember that I had put that in there. I put it there for a reason. We need to remember things. We need to especially remember important spiritual things. And there's a danger for all of us. And it was a danger for Israel that they would forget God. in Joshua chapter 23, they are reminded that it was possible for them to forget. Joshua chapter 23, verse 1, says, a long time after, when God had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake, for it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes these nations that remain, along with all the nations I have already cut off from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day. And as you read this, I imagine many of you are thinking, well, they didn't always do what Joshua is telling them to do. They did not always, remember that they were not supposed to mix with the people of other countries. They did not always remember that they were not to bow down to the gods of others. But Joshua is telling them, I'm old now, and there's a lot of things that you have seen that you need to remember, because it's going to help you to do the right things in the future. And he goes on and tells them, verse 9, the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. As for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to fight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as He's promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. If you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you, and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they will be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorn in your eyes, until you perish off this good ground that the Lord God has given you. And now I am about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, and all of you, that not one word has failed for all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. But just as the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things and He has destroyed from you off this good land that the Lord your God has given you, if you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God which He commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that He has given you. You know, this is very encouraging on one hand, that the Lord has been with them, and Joshua's telling you, you need to remember all these good things that the Lord has done for you, that the Lord gave you victories in battles that didn't seem like you could really win. You know, one man could defeat 1,000. You didn't even have to fight at all sometimes, because hail came and destroyed people. So here it is. You just need to remember what God has done, and remember that God keeps His promises, and He will also keep His promise to destroy you if you mix with other nations and bow down to worship their God. It would be nice if they had all remembered that, but of course we know that they didn't. But what Joshua is saying here is that you need to remember all these things. And what we see when we back up to Joshua chapter 4, as they cross the Jordan River and get to the other side, and Joshua tells each tribe, I want you to pick one man to go and pick up a rock, and you're going to make a memorial. And when your children ask, what do these stones mean to you? Joshua chapter 4, verse 6. When your children ask in time come, what do these stones mean to you? Verse 23 and 24, it says, for the Lord your God has dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you pass over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when He dried up for us until we passed over, so that the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God ever. So the answer is here. What do these stones mean? Well, God did something for us. When your children and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren ask, what are these stones here for? It's a memorial. It's a remembrance for what God has done for you. So what is it that they need to remember that God has done for them? What do these stones mean? Well, they need to remember God's power. Again, in verses 23 and 24, we read that God dried up the waters of the Jordan until you passed over, just like happened at the Red Sea. You know, every year we see the movie The Ten Commandments, where it still comes on, and a lot of you have seen that. And when they made that movie, there were no computers to make the special effects. And one of the impressive effects was when the waters passed, and you see the water on either side. And, you know, they had to do that with some kind of trick photography. God didn't have to use any tricks to do that. He just did it, and they walked across on dry ground. And they remember that. What do these stones mean? Well, the ones that were there to see it, they remember exactly what it was. And those that passed away going through the wilderness, they were impressed by that as well and were not able to tell anybody else about it in other generations. But those that were young, as they passed that way and were able to tell their children about it later, would certainly have been impressed by the power of God. What these stones mean to us? Well, it's what God did for us. That's what it means. It was impressive. And this certainly was not the only time that God had made a memorial for the children of Israel to remember. In fact, before the children of Israel got out of the land of Egypt, in Exodus chapter 12, we see that the firstborn died in the 10th plague, and those that put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts, the death passed over them, and God wanted them to remember that there was no death in their household because God had passed over them. And He established the Passover so people would remember in the future what it was that God had done. So God had set up memorials before. And this new generation that would inherit the land was to teach this and continue to teach this. Let's look, we won't read it again because Noah read it for us this morning, but talk about Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 20. What Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 20 tells us is that there would always be a temptation for God's people to become accustomed to having good and plenty and comfort. And when that happens, they may start thinking that they did it, that we have all these things because we did it. I saw something interesting this morning that David Maxson posted on his Facebook page. He said, "Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread." And I really liked that, because what that says is that the evangelist doesn't forget where he came from. The one that evangelizes doesn't put himself in any better position than the one who hasn't found the bread yet. And so, when we tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have to remember that where we came from, and that we don't have anything without God. And the Israelites were warned that if you get to the point that you are arrogant and you are conceited and you're full of pride and don't remember where it is that you've come from and remember what God has done for you, then you're going to be in trouble. Don't become arrogant. Don't become arrogant. He said it over and over. But did they become arrogant? Yes, they did. When people start to think that they have arrived because of their own power, it never works out well. And so they need to remember through this memorial, we couldn't have crossed this water by ourselves. We couldn't have done this without God's power. And there's so many things that they need to remember about what God had done for them. That's what these rocks mean. These rocks represent the power of God. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 11. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. When the nation of Israel started to complain that they wanted to have kings like other nations, and God gave in to that, and Samuel is going to help them appoint a king, they needed to remember God's power as they did that. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 14 and 15 says, "Samuel said to the people, 'Come, let us go to Gilgal and there renew the kingdom.' So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they offered, they sacrificed peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. So you see what's here in connection with the appointing of the king, sacrificing to God, being in the presence of the Lord. And that's all tied together. That Israel's first king, Saul, would be anointed in Gilgal. And it was the opportunity for the people to remember what God had done for them as they came into the land of Canaan. They needed to remember God's power. They also needed to remember to fear God. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 24, as we've already read, one of the things that Joshua ties up here as he's given them instructions is that they are to remember to fear the Lord your God forever. Why? Well, they had become a mighty nation, and it was because of God that they had become a mighty nation. And one thing that I pointed out to the kids in class, as we read about Rahab and we read about the Gibeonites and others that were foreigners, they had a great respect for God. They had a great respect for Israel because of what they had heard about what God had done. And it seems sometimes that it's these foreigners that have heard about God and the Israelites that have more respect for God than the Israelites actually do. And that's always interesting to me. But here is an opportunity for them to remember to fear the Lord your God forever. It was because of what God had done for them that they had become feared by other nations. They needed to remember that power and have a proper respect for God. They needed to remember that the respect that people had for them and the fear of the Israelites that other nations had was not because of any special power that they had. And oftentimes, other nations realize that. We have heard about you and we've heard about what your God has done for you. They needed to remember that themselves. It was not about them. It was rather about God. And so in every age, God's people were to give God the glory, not themselves. Israel needed to remember that. And Israel needed to remember all the things God had done. But unfortunately, sometimes that memory was very short. Things change. Let's look at the book of Judges. Book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. The angel of the Lord went up to Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I brought you from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. What is this you have done? So now I will say, I will not drive them out before you, and they shall become thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you. As soon as the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted their voices and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed to the Lord. When Joshua dismissed the people, the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. Isn't it interesting that God tells them, you haven't done what it is that you were supposed to do. And now that you haven't done what it is that you're supposed to do, these people are going to be a thorn in your side. Their idols and their gods are going to be a thorn in your side, and they'll be a snare to you. And it reminds me of my mom taking my brother out to the nursery and him reaching out to other people in the pews and saying, help me! Because he knew what was about to happen to him in the nursery wasn't good. We didn't get taken out to the nursery to play with toys. I did not want to get taken to the nursery. Because whatever it was I had been doing in the pew was the result of me being taken out to the nursery, and my mom was going to wear me out. And so it was kind of humorous to the congregation when my brother is reaching, help! Help! Well, it's too late. And it's too late for the Israelites. The Israelites are being told, you were told in advance. We've already read where Joshua told the people, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't remember what God has done. If you don't drive the people out, they're going to be a problem. And God says, you didn't drive the people out, and now you have a problem. And now the people are weeping. Well, I'll be good. Too late. Verse 25 of chapter 21 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." So you think, see how things went? The people were warned that they needed to fear God. They were told that not to forget, but when they forgot, their lives would be harder as a result. If they would have remembered to fear God and remembered God's power, they would have been much better off. But they are going to live and learn instead of learning and living. We need to learn first and then live, but that's not what people do many times. They have to learn from their mistakes. So what's the application to us? I think it's pretty evident that we need to remember God's power also. Will we remember God's power and fear Him? It should be no surprise to us that these things are written for our learning and that we need to do the same as Israel was told to do. We don't want to do what they did, but we should realize that Israel was who they are because of God. Israel was able to do what they did because of God. And we need to remember that as well. We are who we are, not because of ourselves. We know that. We should live that way. We should remember that. That we have seen God's power work in our life. He has delivered us from our sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says that you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So Paul has pointed out here, you need to remember where it was that you came from. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You're just like the rest of the world. But, he says in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of this great love in which He loved us, He's saying that God has cleansed you from that. You don't have to be involved in that life of sin anymore. But make no mistake, He doesn't say that you did that by yourself. You by yourself were dead in trespasses and sin. So we are who we are because of God. Israel was who they were because of God. He assists us in time of need. And because of that, we need to fear Him. We need to respect Him. We need to give Him glory. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep His commandments. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whatever you do, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near in which you say, I have no pleasure in them. What that is telling us is that we all, regardless of what our age is, that we need to fear God. Especially young people are pointing out in addressing Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Remember God right now. Many people don't do that. They think that they have plenty of time to serve God and that they will do that at some time in their life and get serious about serving God. The wise writer tells us, remember God in the days of your youth. So how can we do that? How can we remember the great power of God? And that's one of the great challenges that we have. Let's point out a couple of ways in our lesson this morning how we can do that. We need to remember God's power. We need to do the same thing as Israel. We need to remember as a congregation, as we work together, remember the power of God and glorify Him. As I've already mentioned this morning, we partook of the Lord's Supper. That's a memorial for us to remember what it is that God has done for us. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Jesus says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus established this for us so that we do not forget. 52 times a year we have a chance to remember and to consider His love and His power, His mercy and His grace. And it's not something that needs to be ignored. Of course, there's many in the religious world today that don't partake of the Lord's Supper that often. They don't take advantage of that opportunity and to fulfill the example that we see in the New Testament of what the early Christians did when they partook of that on the first day of the week. Is there a reason for us to put that aside and to forget about it? No, we have that opportunity for a reason. Just like I told you that some of us put things on a calendar that we don't want to forget each week that we need to do. We remember things that are important, or should, like taking out the garbage on whatever day it comes, and things that we need to do each week. People don't forget to go get their paycheck. If you still get a paycheck, that's not direct deposit. And you hope that the bank doesn't forget to put it in there for you. And like clockwork, whenever we know that we are going to get paid, we go and at least check our balances. Did it go in there? I hope it did. There are things that we remember that are important to us that in the grand scheme of things may not be that important, but to partaking of the Lord's Supper and remembering Christ's death on the first day of the week is something that has been set up so that we do not forget. So we remember God's power. We remember the thankfulness that we should have for Him every time that we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. So we do that together as a memorial. We also remember, we should be remembering in our homes what God has done for us as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, this is addressing what people need to do with their family. This is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you were going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you notice here that these people are told that you need to teach it to your sons and your son's sons. So when the children pass through and they see these stones and they say, what do these stones mean? And they ask their parents, what do these stones mean to you? The parents need to teach that to their children and to their children's children. What is the example for us? Well, as parents, we have that same responsibility. And I realize that we have Bible classes here on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and the teachers want to do the best job possible at relating the material in those classes and make it profitable. But what we also need to remember as parents is that these Bible classes are not the most important teaching that these children are getting. We can have Bible classes here, but it should be supplemental because parents should be teaching their children every day. Reading the Scriptures, being the right kind of example, being the right kind of mentor, it's parents' responsibility to teach. And what we do here together as a congregation is not enough time to do the job. And parents need to realize that responsibility that they have. Do we remember God's power? Do we teach that to our children, to our grandchildren? We need to be doing that. We also need to remember what God has done for us on an individual basis as well. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18, it says, when He sits on the throne of His kingdom, He shall write for Himself a copy of this law approved by the Levitical priest. Joshua chapter 24, verse 26 says, Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Here we see that the law was being kept. It was something that was being recorded. And people were to remember that. Joshua, when he wrote these words, it was something that meant something, not just to the people, but it meant something to Joshua. What do we do individually to remember the power of God? Well, we should be praying. A lot of times people talk about, you know, time alone with God. Well, what does that mean? Meditating on what it is that God has done for you, being thankful, being prayerful, going to God in prayer and petitioning Him. Everything that God has done for us should not be thrown out the window. It should be something that should be on our minds constantly, and we should be thankful. We should make time to go to God in prayer. It says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. It was important for Christ to pray. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18, it says, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book the copy of the law. The law was important. We have copies of the law. And unfortunately, many times, they don't make it out of the car. Or they sit here on a pew, and they're here for us next time that we get here. And maybe we haven't even looked at it since last time we were here. Or it's a big fancy book that sits on a coffee table that has a bunch of Southern Living stocks on top of it. It's there, but it's not being used. And it's not going to be any good for anybody if it's not being used. We have a personal responsibility to serve God just as Joshua did. We talked about this in our class this morning when we were talking about the Gibeonites and what the Gibeonites did to trick the people of Israel into accepting them. You know, the people of Israel were to put away those that were in the land around them. They were to defeat those. And the Gibeonites came and said, oh, we've come from a long journey. We've come from a long way away. And Joshua says, well, who are you? How do we know that you don't live close by? Well, look at ourselves. We've got dirty clothes on. Our sandals are all cracked. Our wineskins are old. Our bread is moldy. And so they had done a good job of making it look like they had come from afar off. And so, you know, the law said, well, you can make peace with those who are from afar off. They didn't seek the counsel of God. And they were tricked. And they were not able to do what God had told them to do. And I made a point to the class that, you know, Joshua was a man that most of the time when we see what he did, he was always on target. He was one of the two adults that got to go into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. But here was an example where the Scripture records for us that when this happened, when the Gibeonites tricked the children of Israel, Joshua did not consult with God. So he made a mistake. Joshua had a personal responsibility to serve God, and he did that. But he wasn't perfect. None of us are. But you know, when I think about Joshua, I don't really focus on that one part of his life. I usually think about the challenges that he gave people, such as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And what he did along with Caleb when they were trying to encourage the people of Israel to stand and remember what God had done for them, and that we are well able to take this land. And all the things that Joshua had done when he took the children of Israel, when he took over for Moses. Joshua was a man that wanted to serve God. He did make a mistake. But we see that Joshua was a man who strove, who took on responsibility. And we sing a lot of songs about Joshua, dare to stand like Joshua. The choice is up to us. Joshua made himself a copy of the law because he wanted to know that. He wanted it to be something that was close to him. We have it much easier as far as having a copy of the law. So are we going to read it? Are we going to live by it? Who are we going to serve? We have a choice. We need to take time to remember what God has done for us. We can be forgetful about a great many things. And we may take notes, write ourselves notes, leave ourselves voice messages, put things on our calendar to remember those things. But don't let the spiritual things become so unimportant to you that they don't get done. Make your spiritual life and your spiritual growth just as important as all these other things that you strive to remember. God wanted the people of Israel to remember what it was He had done for them. That's why He set up this memorial, so that when the kids saw it, they could say, well, what do these stones mean? And their parents could tell them, well, I'll tell you what this means. It's because of what God did for us. Let's talk about what God did for us and to remember that we didn't do it ourselves. God did it for us so that we can have a hope of heaven in eternity. If we can help you in any way to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.